Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear, and into love. And I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy, and that means no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you're here for a reason. And I hope something in the next hour lights you up and helps you move forward. Our best moments of pure love and divine bliss happen when we're centered, when we're listening to ourselves, trusting ourselves, allowing that creativity that flows through the universe, the source of intuition, to lead us. And my guest on today's show is Michelle Milady. We will be talking about how you can find the path to tuning into your intuition and have the courage to act on it. Are you ready to meet her? Michelle Milady is a joyful living mentor, master energy intuitive, spiritual guide, author, and transformational healing workshop leader. She specializes in clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and spirit realm communication. Michelle helps people heal from the past so that they can live vibrantly in the present moment, and she helps people reconnect with and use their intuitive sixth sense as a guiding force in their personal world. Her passion is to help you discover and fall in love with your brilliant and authentic self. You can find out more about Michelle and her work at michellemilady.com. Michelle, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I'm wondering, can you share a little bit? We all have stories. We all started somewhere and have been on interesting journeys to get to where we are now. And I'm wondering if you can share a little of your personal journey. What brought you to this work?
I'd be happy to do that. Going back, I've listened in and tuned into a lot of different intuitive guides. And I think I've heard very often that several people, they're very popular nowadays, that they had supportive environments that they grew up in. And a lot of times they had a parent that was actually connected to their intuition that supported them along the way. And my situation is the opposite of that. I actually grew up in a very dysfunctional home. There was alcoholism and prescription drug addiction. And my childhood was very challenging and reaped with physical, emotional, mental, and sexual abuse. And so in that process, of course, I completely shut down to any intuition and was totally unaware of this amazing silent superpower that was waiting to emerge within me. And through my journey of recovery, I think I was in my mid-20s when I went through a period of time where I just sort of emotionally couldn't keep going on in life. And I was one of the people that was riding the wave of drama and chaos, and work was difficult and relationships were difficult. And I had repressed a lot of my emotional issues for many years. And so I was completely and totally disconnected from any intuitive vibes. And when I began my healing journey in my 20s, one of the things that I immediately started to notice as I began to slow down and connect with myself was that I had this very powerful force of energy that would shine through me and was leading me and guiding me on many occasions, but I hadn't been paying attention to it. And as I continued to go through my journey and did my healing work, I actually became more and more aware of how my intuition had attempted to guide me in a lot of situations, and I wasn't listening. And at times I was. And I became aware of how I really connected in energetically to people and how I could feel into their their physical body and their emotional body, and I could take care of myself in the process. And so back in the days, I can remember times that specific people felt very unsafe to me, and my intuition was telling me this is not a safe environment. And at times I did attempt to take care of myself in that way and acknowledge that to my family or to friends, parents, or anybody that was around, but most of the time it wasn't listened to. And so as an adult, I went through a deep healing process, and it enabled me to reconnect to my intuitive self. And I also developed, beyond intuition, I developed into the psychic realm and connections with angels and spirit guides, and my intuition fully evolved. And so that's where I'm at today, is I have a business called Intuitive Living, and I've been doing my own work for 20 years, as well as probably for about the last 15 years working with other people, and so learning more about myself in the process of working with others.
I was talking with someone yesterday, another healer, and we were talking about, and both of us come from challenging backgrounds as well. And we were talking about how sometimes in family situations where there is abuse, where there is instability, one of the hardest things for the intuitive child in that environment is that we don't know what's true. Our intuition tells us one thing, our perception tells us another thing, and yet sometimes the parent or guardian or abuser is saying, no, actually, this thing that you're perceiving, that's not true. Why do you think that? Are you familiar with that, and how does that keep us from healing when we can't find the truth? It kind of keeps us from our intuition.
Yes, I agree. I think for myself, that I was so used to giving away my power, which in my practice, I see a lot of the clients that I work with as well, that they're taught, even on simple levels, it doesn't have to be a case of extreme abuse like what I went through, but even people regularly are told not to feel their feelings, or they're having a certain sensation. And one of the things that I've worked on as raising two boys right now, I have a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old, and my 9-year-old son went through a phase where he didn't want to hug people when he was about 6, and he was really shy and withdrawn and keeping to himself, and going out and participating in family events or parties with friends, because we lived in Mexico at the time, and the culture is you hug and you kiss everybody you come in contact with. And my son was going through a phase of not wanting to do that, and so my part as the parent was to honor him and to consistently, I found myself consistently having to explain to other people, he doesn't have to hug you if he doesn't want to. And there was a lot of flare-ups around that. There was a lot of arguments and disagreements that I wasn't teaching him appropriate manners. And for me, it was a phase that he was going through, and that he was really learning that his voice mattered, and that if he wanted to extend or give a hug, it was his decision and his choice, and that nobody had the right to tell him he had to do that. But I was amazed at how many people didn't want to honor him and didn't want to pay attention to him. And then also reflecting back in my own life and realizing that that was the case on most occurrences, is that certain people that I felt very unsafe to be around, and I was told I had to go and be around them and I had to spend time with them. And so it's very important for me to take a stand with my kids and really hold the space for them to honor themselves and their intuitive guidance.
It feels to me like, just listening to what you're saying here, that you have, through your own journey, transformed yourself into that supportive person now for your kids, where there wasn't a supportive person for you. And that's so powerful. My kids are 11 and 14. My boys, also 2 boys. And it's so important for them, I feel, for all our kids, to have someone say, I will listen to you no matter what you have to say to me. I will honor what you're telling me. And then as a parent, it's my job to then discern, what do we do with that? Where do we go? How can I support you? What needs attention here? And especially with these kids who are coming in now, these kids are different. These kids are more sensitive than we were, right? Well, not more than you and I and a lot of the other intuitive people are, but more sensitive in general. And they need that support. They need somebody to listen. So what would you say to someone who is parenting a child who is showing intuitive ability or empathic awareness, as you're also saying that you have?
Yeah, I actually had a person that came from Dallas last year, specifically had an encounter with her because she had sent her daughter to several different psychologists over a six-year period, and they were trying to figure out what the issue was with her daughter. And when I met her daughter, she was 10, and we sat out in a garden space at a friend's house because they came in to visit some mutual friends of mine. And the daughter and I instantly connected, which amazed the mother. And then as I sat down with her, she told me, those people that my mom keeps making me go see don't understand me. They don't understand what's happening with me. And she was a very highly sensitive empath, and she's very connected to nature. And so she was having reading into experiences that her friends were having. There was friends that were being abused, or there were friends that their parents were getting divorced, and she was feeling the emotion of that within her, and her mom didn't know how to handle that. And so what we got to and what we sat down with was the mom was terrified even to have a conversation about this, because her mother grew up telling her that all of this stuff was about the devil.
Mm.
And so I explained to the mother that she was being given an opportunity to heal her emotions and her false beliefs in the process of raising this incredibly beautiful, highly sensitive child. And so I think a lot of times in dealing with the children that I have been presented to, I also have to have an experience with adults, because the children are a part of their healing journey as well. And some parents aren't equipped to handle the children that are coming in now.
And it's generational, isn't it? I believe that our children come in to help us heal past patterns, and we help them heal, and it creates this beautiful cycle. We just are not always looking at the whole of the cycle.
Exactly. I think that that's the time that we're at right now on the planet, is that we're all being called to awaken in some way or another, and that the beings that are choosing to come in at this time are supporting us in that process. And a big part of what's going on with the adults is that we are intended to heal our issues. And more people are showing up at my door that they've been to therapy for a lot of years, and they still don't feel at peace, and they don't understand why they can't find happiness in their lives. And for me, the biggest issue that I find as a block to intuition is people haven't been encouraged to connect with their emotional selves. I think we give a lot of permission in our society for people to look at the spiritual realm now, and also to look at the mental realm, but emotional healing is still very scary for a lot of people.
There is especially with the culture of, I think, technology and the way that we prize learning, sometimes as we're educating our children, we lose that feeling sense, right? What somebody's called emotional intelligence, we lose that ability to understand what we feel, because often that's told to us, what we feel, what we want, that's presented to us. Here's how you feel. Here's what you want. Now have that. And we lose that intuitive spark. Now, you draw a distinction between being intuitive and having psychic ability. Can you share what the difference is?
Yes. I think, first of all, that the word psychic can be really frightening to people.
You're right. That word psychic does kind of sometimes mean, you know, cross my palm with silver and you'll meet a stranger and picking lottery numbers and that kind of stuff.
I recently had an encounter with that when somebody introduced me and told the person that we were with that I was an intuitive. And he immediately responded, "Oh, can you read my future? And can you tell me if I'm going to make a lot of money?" And I thought that was really funny, comical. He wasn't necessarily afraid, but I think a lot of people are, and they connect it with the palm reader that's got the flashing sign in the window as you're driving through a small town, and you go in and she has a crystal ball type of thing. And so when people come in contact with me, they typically don't understand and make the connection. And I have a lot of people that show up at my door that are very timid and afraid and insecure about what exactly is going to take place. in Ascension with me. And so that's been very interesting because I live in Texas, which is a very conservative state, and a lot of the belief systems haven't evolved beyond where it's been for generations in terms of the healing work that I offer. And so I find myself here as well as in, I lived in Mexico for 10 years, and it was the same thing. There was a very famous psychic that was on TV there, and he played the part. He was very flamboyant and very loud and strange, and a lot of times was very inaccurate and brought in astrology readings that didn't make sense. And so I think a lot of times people are caught up in a belief system that isn't reality as to what we're experiencing. And they're also, a lot of times they use intuitive and psychic together. And intuition is equated with psychic ability. And I think that I view it on a spectrum. When I'm working with my clients, it's like an undeveloped intuition is typically what I have. And so I lead people through a journey and healing in order to develop their intuition. And some of those people do reach the realm of psychic ability. I think there's people, as we discussed a few minutes ago, that are actually born and more connected. They grow up in supportive environments. And so that ability for them over the years consistently and constantly increases, and they're capable of making connections to higher realms. But a lot of people are on a basic level completely disconnected from their intuition.
And one of the things that boy, don't get me started on phony psychics. One of the things that really lights me up about that and makes me angry is the way that people who are not using their intuitive abilities with integrity will prey on fear. So it's your fear that I might see into your future, or your fear that if you have a session with me, I might tell you, you'll never amount to anything and you'll never find love. And plus there's a curse on you. And if you give me $500, I'll take the curse off. People are afraid of that. And what they're missing is that intuition, that inner knowing, that connection that we have comes from source. That's about love. And so anybody who shows up and says they're a psychic or an intuitive or says anything to you and then proceeds to scare you, you know you're in the wrong place.
I love that. I love exactly what you said. That's really beautiful, because a lot of the times I tell people too, you need to really listen to, and that's a main source of even going to see different therapists, different type of healing practitioners. I tell the people that I work with, trust yourself and trust how you feel. Find somebody that you feel good with. Find somebody that when you enter into an experience with them, that your body feels alive with joy. And if you are getting that deep gut feeling that's saying that any practitioner in any field doesn't feel good, that you should honor that. And so often we don't, because we're told this person, this particular person, somebody else had a great experience with them, but for us, maybe they don't resonate in the same way, and they're not the right person for us to have that experience with.
And that's about taking your power back, isn't it? We forget sometimes that. I talked to someone earlier this morning who was heading for a medical appointment and hadn't quite told the truth about the situation that brought her there. And I was encouraging her to tell the truth. And she said, I feel the doctor will be judgmental. And I'm afraid that then, and I said, well, then if that happens, if he's an idiot, then you can get up and leave, because you're the person who walked in there and you're the person who can walk out. And we sometimes do give our power away, especially to authority figures, without realizing that we have the power then to change the situation by getting up and leaving, by whatever it is, right?
Yes, I agree. I think we're trained to do that. Actually, it's the situation that I explained earlier as well in relation to my son, is that we're taught to behave in certain ways and to act in certain ways, and definitely authority figures are supposed to be given respect. And so if we're honoring ourselves and honoring our intuition and following through with what our guidance says, then we're going against a large level of belief systems, and we have to work with that. And a lot of people find it difficult to actually connect with themselves. And there's fear related to that, because our thoughts are connected to our emotions. And so if you're challenging something and you're really wanting to be courageous and stand up and leave the situation, for a lot of people, that's really scary and hard, because they're afraid that they're not going to be liked or they're not going to be accepted, or they don't want to believe themselves over somebody else that has years of training and study, especially in the realm of the medical world.
Right, right. Well, and there's my sense from my own experience is that when I began, after many years of swallowing my intuition, when I began to reconnect, one of the things that I was the most frightened of was that if I reconnected, if I kind of opened up to this, I wouldn't be able to set boundaries and that I would just be like swept away on a big tide of psychic wackiness and that would be it for me, right? And what I found instead was the opposite. The more I allowed myself to share what I was feeling, as the more that I acknowledged my truth, the more control I had and ability to work with my gifts instead of always being blindsided, which is what happened to me a lot.
I like that as well, because I think that it is about tuning into your power and really taking responsibility for your choices. And it's I found my peace in the process, like you're just saying. As I began to honor those feelings and honor those gut reactions that I was having, my life became more and more peaceful and I got more in the flow and I felt more fulfilled. Whereas in the past, I wasn't trusting the gut process, and that took me into spaces of drama and chaos, and I felt completely out of the flow. I didn't even know what the flow was, Karen. I guess that was part of it. It was that this realm of intuition for me was completely foreign. It wasn't something that I had ever had an experience with. And I think that that is the case for a lot of people, is that they're afraid of letting go and trusting themselves. And so I think when we get into developing intuition, and how I work with my work with people, is that you have to be willing to make mistakes. You have to, part of developing and practicing getting in touch with your intuition is being willing to not always have the outcome or the answer that you wanted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's that when you see people like the psychic you were describing in Mexico, when you see sometimes very well-known psychics, you can see a kind of brittleness and terror around them about how much they have to defend themselves against being wrong. And there's another sign that you're not in the right place, right?
Right. I think, too, that it is thinking that somebody else has your answers. And one of the biggest parts of my process was learning that I have my own answers, that I don't need to go into and trust someone else that isn't leading me in the right direction. It doesn't have my best interest in mind, like you explained, you know, in terms of money and things like that. And I can tune into somebody else. I can see the potential. I can have, and I do have visions. But a lot of the times what I want is for that person to go into themselves and to come to a place of realizing that they don't have to depend on me for that. And one of the things that I've also learned in terms of my psychic ability, my guidance has taught me that reading into somebody, I'm seeing a possibility. And it's my part as a practitioner is to not just to hold that space for that person. So like if I see somebody that their potential shows me that they're heading down the path of creating cancer in their lives, and that's the vision that comes forth for me, I don't acknowledge that with the client. That's holding the space for that for them. And what my spirit guides have taught me to do is that that's the information that I need in order to guide them to get help for themselves so they don't end up in that space. And a lot of times the psychic readings that are coming in for me through my intuition is about leading somebody to a higher possibility. And my spirit guide showed me that we live on a grid and there's different decisions that are being made all the time. And so take the information to empower yourself and better your life. And I don't hold anybody to the vision that I'm presenting. If it's a positive experience, a positive outcome for them, I'm showing them this is what the potential is showing me. And this is the work that you'll need to do to get there. And so I use that ability to lead people down a path that ends in a brighter future for them. But I don't hold them to the stories that I'm reading around them in the moment.
Because we always, and I, those of you who listen to this show often know that I often say, with every breath, we can make a different choice. We are the ones directing the flow of our path. We are the ones, it's our decisions, what we do, what we intend, what we put out there, that's what affects the outcome, not what somebody you hear on the radio or someone else tells you the outcome will be, because you always are in charge of that outcome. It's your choice, your free will, your life path that takes you where you want to go.
Exactly. And I think that that's the biggest part of what we teach other people, is that they have the ability to make different choices and to use their intuition to guide them in a positive direction.
Yes, away from fear and mm-hmm. into love. Absolutely. Now, I see we're at the bottom of the hour, so this is a good place to say, you're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Michelle Milady. And when you go to Michelle's website at michellemilady.com, what you'll find are free gifts. There is an ebook for you. We'll talk about all this when we come back. But there are a lot of resources, a lot for you to take a look at on that site. So I recommend that to you, michellemilady.com. And when we come back, after this short break, we will be talking with Michelle about how you can, right now, take some practical steps to tap into your own intuition, to start to live that truth, to start to connect with that divine love and balance. It's Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, and we'll be right back after this.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over a million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold.
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest today is Michelle Milady. We're talking about intuition, how we can connect with our own truth, our own divine balance, our own sense of direction to get back into the flow. And I'd love to hear what you think of what you're hearing today. If you head over to KarenHager.com, that is my little home on the internet, and you can connect with me there. You can get my email address. And I'd love to know what you think about what you're hearing, how you feel about the show. How are you connecting with your own intuition? You can also find us on Facebook, Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. It has its very own Facebook page. Find me there and let me know what you think of what you're hearing. Now, Michelle, we've come around now to where you're telling us how you help people reconnect with their intuition, how you help people not be afraid to step into their truth. And I'm wondering if you can share, is there something that listeners can do maybe right now to help them get remove some of those blocks and get closer to that intuition?
Yes, your intuition is the manner in which spirit speaks to you from within. And although you probably learn to discount it or ignore it or seldom tap into it, it's always there for you and ready for you to tap into. And I do provide some simple steps, I think, in the beginning process, and that's what I'd like to focus on, that considering people that are interested in developing their intuition now. And some of the basic steps that I like to focus on is meditation is one, and that's a spiritual practice that's essential to reclaiming and working with your sixth sense. And meditation for some people, they go to the place of it's the person sitting on top of a mountain and they're in isolation and secluded and meditating all day. And so the clients that I work with, they come in and it's just a simple process. Most of the people I work with in the beginning, I do guided meditation with them because they seem to connect with that much more easily than actually clearing the space in their mind. And so I assist them in developing a daily practice for themselves, not only when they're with me, but also encouraging them to take some time throughout the day, 5 or 10 minutes to start with, to just sit quietly with themselves and to focus on a guided meditation, something that I make available to them, or actually just to focus on a word simply is a good start as well. And I like to pick the basic words like peace or love or joy or something that they would like to create more of in their life. And that's one practice. And then I also suggest journaling. I've been a big journaler for a couple of decades now. So it is a form of tapping into my intuition that works for me on a regular basis. And I oftentimes give out little mini notebooks to people, and I encourage them to go through the process of paying attention to how their intuition is speaking to them. Because although we call our intuition our inner voice, for a lot of people, it doesn't register as a voice. And a lot of people can also get confused by the number of voices that are in their head. And so a lot of the times I will say, well, connect down in, just breathe into your heart space and pay attention to your solar plexus and your heart chakra space and listen for a voice that comes from that space. Or you can actually pay attention to the fact that some people get sensations or they get images. And so each individual is a journey for me because I get to work with and find out how their intuitive hits show up for them. And then they can also practice that on their own by keeping notes of that so they can start paying attention to when their intuition was trying to speak to them and in what form.
I love that idea because often, especially if we're not used to listening to our intuition, we'll get a little hit and then it's almost like the way we forget our dreams. It just, did I feel that? Did that just happen? And then we forget and we move on. And I love the idea about writing it down because that makes it real. And so when I look at the words that I've written on the page, that means, wow, that really happened. I really felt that. So I love that idea about making it more concrete.
My clients actually appreciate it very much. And then a longer journaling experience that I encourage as well is to actually sit down and quiet yourself and go into a native state, and then ask a simple question like, what do I need to know today, as a morning meditation, and then listening for whatever comes forward for you, and then keeping notes of that as well. But I think that the journaling around town kind of thing with the mini journal is the one that people get really excited about. Yeah. Because they really connect with themselves. And when they come to me, they have an expectation that I'm going to be able to say, here's the formula, and this is what your intuition looks like. But for every person, it's different, and each person has a unique experience with their intuition. And so the process is figuring out what is your unique experience and how your intuition talks to you.
And that journey of discovery is so valuable, don't you think? Because that's part of how we learn to trust our intuition again, especially if we've experienced that as a child and then shut it off and are trying to regain it as adults. That allowing ourselves to have that journey of discovery is so powerful. We all do connect in unique ways with our intuition.
I think that it is an act of self-love. I think that it's honoring yourself in a very specific way by taking the time to get to know yourself better. And your intuition is a vibrant force that is placed within you in order to lead you on your journey in a more peaceful way. And so actually sitting down and taking the time to connect with it is, for me, an act of self-love.
And that, along with daily spiritual practice, which I'm a huge believer in, doesn't take you out of life. It brings you more fully into life and allows you to engage more fully in what's really happening with that truth that we were talking about earlier.
Yes, I recently took a course on mindfulness, and I think that I related it to that as well, because they weren't talking about intuition, but they were actually talking about being more present in the moment with yourself. And afterwards, the woman that was presenting, we had a conversation, and she was asking about what I did and sharing more about what she did. And we decided, we could form a team here. And she said, I want to refer some people to you because I'm not really connected to the spiritual realm of mindfulness. And she said, a lot of times I have people that want to have more spiritual practice related to that, and they want to tap into the intuition. And so we decided to form a team. And then I also have people that aren't as interested in exploring their emotions, and they would like to work with somebody that's more focused on the mind.
What kind of intuitive messages do people receive when they are first beginning to connect? And how do we know whether or not to act on what we're receiving?
I think that that's what we talked about earlier in terms of having a willingness to make mistakes, because when you're first connecting with your intuition, you're also going to be figuring out, what are all these other messages that are coming in through me? For myself in particular, I had so much inner child work to do. I had all these different aspects of myself that were unhealed. And so whenever I would try to connect with myself, I couldn't discern which voice it was that I needed to follow. And that always felt very scary to me. But I started to become more and more familiar that my intuition spoke to me a lot through my solar plexus space. And so now I tell people, if they're trying to make an intuitive decision, because for me it's become so natural. It's just, I go into my head, I'm making a simple decision. I'll make it as simple as possible. I want to go get a toy for my child. And this happened a couple of months ago, and I didn't want to waste time during the day. So I intuitively asked myself, do I go to Target or Walmart? And so when I closed my eyes and I said Walmart, I felt sort of this dull, lifeless feeling. And then when I said Target, it went with joy. So I went to Target and the toy was there.
I love that.
So it's very basic. I think that we can complicate it. And I use my intuition on a daily basis just for simple decisions. And I recently had a woman that I'm working with, and she wanted to go have this amazing spiritual experience and workshop that she wanted to attend in Canada. And so every time we came to the space, I kept feeling like this wasn't the situation that was best for her in my body when I tapped into it, that it wasn't the right time, that there was something else that she was supposed to do. But I told her, I said, I'm getting a reading on the question that you're asking, but what I would like for you to do is to go into yourself and see if you can get a reading on it. And so I guided her through a simple meditation of just relaxing and focusing on her breath and then falling down into her heart space. And then I said, is going to Canada the best option for me? And what she came back with was no, which was exactly what I got. She said, I have this really bad feeling and it doesn't feel right in my head. She said, my head is saying, oh, this is awesome and this is wonderful and all the things that I'm going to experience. And she said, but my body keeps saying, no, it's not right. And so she ultimately made a decision for herself that she was going to trust that. And she called the facilitator and said that it wasn't right. And then within a week, she met this incredible woman right in her very own hometown that she wants to study with.
Wow.
And so those are the simple ways that I see intuition working in people's lives. It was just acknowledging the feeling, even though the mind was saying, this is going to be amazing and incredible and wonderful. Her feeling, her gut, her intuition was saying, no, this is not the right thing for you. And she was really disappointed. And so we had to acknowledge the feelings of that, because a lot of times our intuition leads us in a direction that we don't want. And I think that that's one of the hardest things that people have in accepting the guidance of their intuition, is that they want something and their intuition is telling them that it's not the right place to go. And so building up trust in the process is that later on you look back and you see, oh, okay, because the universe had something better planned.
That's right. Well, and because you always do have that choice, if I feel intuitively that I shouldn't go to Canada, but I really, really want to go to Canada, there's nothing stopping me from going to Canada. I can go. It's just that I need to be clear that I am making that choice.
Exactly. I lived in Mexico for 10 years, and about 9 years into my time there, I had this very strong intuitive guidance that told me that it was time to move. And so I went to my husband, and he's from Mexico, and we lived in his hometown, and I told him, I said, I'm getting, you know, it's time to go. And my husband just kind of looked at me and said, okay, because he's learned over the years to trust that intuitive guidance that I have. And so we started going through the process of doing his paperwork, which took about 10 months. And during the 10-month period that we were working on leaving the country, the city that we lived in became very violent with drug wars. And by the time that we finally left, it was just getting into the space of reaching a peak where even people that were from that city were moving away and moving out. And I could look back and say, I'm glad I trusted my gut, because we moved away before it got completely out of control.
When you are working intuitively, Michelle, are you working with your guides? Do we all have guides to use as we're tapping into our intuition?
Yes. That is a big part of what I do, is helping people to connect with their guides and also their angels, specifically their guardian angels, what I work with. And I think in past generations that we've thought, and probably has been the experience, that only a few people could make that connection, and those are the people that you went to see to get that guidance from. But now we're living in a time where my guides are specifically telling me that this is for everyone. This isn't limited to certain people. And I think that I came across some information not too long ago that talked about that not one person or a group can get ahead of the whole, that we all need to wake up together and move in this journey as one. And so the way that I saw that is they were sharing that information with me, is that it's part of my responsibility in the work that I do, is to help other people to connect with that higher realm to assist them in making better decisions for themselves. For me, my intuition, my gut feeling is different. The experience that I have with my guardian angel and my guides, I've been working with guides for years, and I have transitory guides I don't have specific guides that have stayed with me on my journey. They tend to go out and come in fluctuation depending on what I'm working on in life. I have had some that have stayed longer and a few that have only come in for a short period of time. And then I also have guides that come in for specific people that I'm working with, that they're there only to help that one person and they don't show up with other people as well. And so I do sit down and make that connection. I tune into that. And then as we develop intuition, I encourage people through different exercises to also make those connections if they're willing and ready to do that, because that again is the guidance and help is there available, but it's our responsibility to ask for it. And at times there's a process that needs to be worked through based on belief systems and the fear attached to having that connection and what does that mean. And so going back to what I discussed earlier is that a very important part of my work is working in the emotional realm too. I just think that there's a lot that we have to heal in order to claim what is our birthright, and that is happiness and joy and peace and harmony in this world.
That's very true. And we talked a little bit earlier about what I feel is kind of a shift in the energy of the planet right now, a shift in the energy of the people who are on the planet right now, that calls us into not just paying more attention to our intuition, but paying more attention to our sort of incarnated nature here. Can we be fully present where we are right now in order to experience this as fully as we're called to do? And we spend so much time numbing ourselves out and not being present, and there are 1,000 reasons, 1,000 distractions, and yet that call is, hey, pay attention.
And that call is getting louder and louder. And I was thinking about this exact thought before we talked yesterday, because I was thinking about how for me, I'm so immersed in this community that this has become my norm. And it's hard for me sometimes to relate to not being awake or to being disconnected. Although I have people in my life, I have family members, and I have friends that are on different levels as well that are just starting to come in contact with guides, or they're waking up to their intuition in different ways. But I see out in society, I mean, it seems to me that the universe is really calling us in a loud way, because it's showing up in commercials, it shows up in advertisements. I get just the giggles over how I see the different ways that spirit is working to help people wake up. It's out there. And to me, it's really beautiful and exciting to see that we are coming together as one, and that we are in our society in some way being referred back to over and over again to simplify our lives, to sit down and breathe, to meditate, and to make a spiritual practice out of our daily lives. And so I think that I've seen friends even in the last few years, people that my husband and I have been to dinner parties with on numerous occasions, and we would talk about the things that we were interested or what we were studying, and they had no connection whatsoever to what we were talking about. And over the last couple of years, these exact same people are the ones that are showing up at the dinner party talking about this book that they're reading that has to do with everything that we've been discussing. But for them, that was their moment. They got it. It reached them. It claimed them, and they accepted it. And then this whole new world opened up, and to see their joy and their excitement about this new discovery. And my husband and I are kind of like nudging each other, like, we've been saying that for years.
So there are so many ways, Michelle, that you connect with people, and so many things that you do. And I'm wondering if you can let the listeners know what they'll find on michellemilady.com. And I know you've got a special offer and there's free stuff. Can you just give us the rundown on all the ways that we can connect with you?
Yes. At michellemilady.com right now, I'm very excited about the free book that I have, and it's Everyday Awakenings. 21 days of intuitive living. And then also, if you choose to sign up for that, I have a new newsletter that'll be going out called Living in the Light. And then something that is absolutely exciting for me, I wasn't sure if I was going to get the opportunity to share this with you, was I have a book called The Joy of Loving Yourself, 101 Ways to a Happier You, and it will actually be available on Amazon, hopefully by the end of the week.
Oh, congratulations. So, that's awesome.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. So this is a project of mine that's been in the works for several years, and so kind of off and on with having children and moving from one country to the other, and but keeping it alive, and now I'm finally giving birth to it, so I'm very excited about my little treasure.
That's wonderful.
And then I have a monthly blog that, I have links to my Facebook and Twitter accounts as well, and a lot of activities going on in Facebook. And then there's pages and pages of information about what I offer in Joyful Living Mentoring. I do private sessions and energy work. I also work via Skype video with several clients all over in different countries, different states. And just trying to keep as involved as I can in showing up and being of loving service and wherever I'm guided to be.
That is wonderful. And I think that this is a way that technology is our friend, because it helps the people who are maybe holding light spread that out to people no matter where they are in the world. And that wonderful way of creating community at a time when many people are feeling so isolated, that's a huge, at least for me, it's a huge part of the work that I do. It's so important to bring people together in that way.
I've just been in awe of being connected with you and how that came about for me, because your show, going back and listening to other episodes, I it's just beautiful. The people that you bring in, the work that you're offering, I feel very honored and deeply blessed to be a part of what you're creating and being a partner in your community as well, because it's just amazing, Karen. I've just been blown away by these people that you have on your show.
Thank you so much. And this is, like I often say, this is how the good people take over the world, is by those of us who are not afraid to raise our voices, saying the truth, seeking the light. This is how the good people take over. And to have this be a resource so that anyone who's listening can receive what they need to receive for their highest and best good, that is what it's all about. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm really happy to have had the chance to connect with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. That was Michelle Milady. She is a joyful living mentor, a master energy intuitive, spiritual guide, and author. If you head over to michellemilady.com, that's Michelle, MULLADY.com, you can download that free ebook, Everyday Awakenings, 21 Days of Intuitive Living, and keep an eye on Michelle, because by the end of the week, her new book will be out on Amazon.com, and you can snap that up as well. And I'd love to hear what you think about this show, what you've heard today. You can always reach me through my website, karenhager.com. And thank you for listening today. Together we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.